James chapter number 5 this morning. Book of James chapter number 5. And I'll go ahead and have you turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter number 6. Two places that we'll be. After dealing with Christmas and New Year and vacation, it's time to get back to our study on prayer. It's been a while. I told you we'd eventually get back here. There were just some things that we needed to take care of, some areas we needed to study otherwise. And then, of course, last week, heard y'all had a good time with our dear brother, and he did a good job, and praise the Lord for that. James chapter number 5, and we'll call your attention to the middle part of verse number 16. And this morning I want us to begin dealing with the matter that's mentioned here in the middle of this verse. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then he gives an example here. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Realize that Elijah was just a man. He was a man of God. He was a prophet of God. But he lived in sinful flesh, just like we live in sinful flesh. But yet his prayers were effectual. You know, if we want results in our prayer life, we need to learn how to pray effectual, fervent prayers. Now, the word that's translated effectual, fervent, that's one Greek word that's translated effectual, fervent, it comes from the same word that we get our word energy from. Energy. It means to put forth power, to be active, be efficient. Or we might say it produces results. That's the whole idea behind it. It produces results. If you get the Noah's Webster's 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language, it's the oldest English dictionary that you can have of the English language, and you go back and look at what effectual means there. It means producing an effect, or the effect desired or intended, or having adequate power or force to produce the effect. And you look up the word fervent, it's defined as ardent or passionate or being earnest. And so we're talking about serious prayer is what we're talking about here. Understand that any of us can pray in different ways, and yet our prayers may not be effectual, fervent prayers. Just because you pray doesn't necessarily make your prayers effective or fervent, or that you're going to see any results from what you do. I don't know about you, but I want the time that I spend praying not to be wasted with ineffectual praying. When it comes to prayer, I believe that we all want results, amen? And when you pray, if you've got a matter on your heart and you take it to the Lord in prayer, you're wanting to hear from God. You wanting God to answer that prayer. If not, why bother? Right? There's nothing in this life more disappointing than to pour our heart out to God and have our prayers produce no results. God's Word teaches that the right kind of prayers will get tremendous results. And when we do something, we want results, don't we? Just for example, you know, if you were to go, hope nobody had any car trouble today, but you go out to your car sometimes, and you know you'll turn the key, and it may go wing 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 wing, and kick no fire. You know, you can't get it to go. That's frustrating, isn't it? You try it over and over again, you get the same thing, nothing but disappointment. Somebody can walk up and say, why don't you try it again? And you say, no use. I've tried it over and over. It doesn't work. And that's exactly how some people feel with their praying. saying, you know, I prayed over and over again, but it just didn't work. I didn't get any results. They're convinced that prayer doesn't work. Read a story about a little boy in a cartoon who was disgruntled with God. It was in a Christian magazine. He said, Aunt Harriet isn't married yet. Uncle Herbert still doesn't have a job. My brother's still picking on me. Mom's back is still aching. My sister still has an acne problem. My daddy's hair is still falling out. And I'm getting tired of praying for this family without getting any results. And that's the way many feel about prayer today. They've tried it time and time again, and they have seemingly gotten no results and are saying that it's no use to pray anymore and sort of given up on praying. Well, what we need to do is to learn to pray effectual, fervent prayers, because it says here that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It availeth much. Notice from the very start that effectual praying comes from the lips of a righteous man. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Okay. It is the righteous man's prayers that produce results. The word righteous, of course, we need to define it the way that the Bible defines it, because everybody has a different idea about what it means to be righteous. Just want you to consider two things, though. First of all, righteousness applies to the Lord Jesus. His righteousness is the righteousness that matters most. If you don't have His righteousness on your life, God's not going to hear your prayers. It's just not. When we come to the Lord for salvation, He imputes His righteousness to us. And from that time on, when God sees us, He doesn't see our sins, but He sees the righteousness of His Son. Isn't that a wonderful truth, you know, that we are righteous in Christ? We don't have any true righteousness of our own. We know our righteousness, as Isaiah pointed out, was just like a bunch of filthy rags. But at conversion, we take on Christ's righteousness. So the first way the word righteousness is used applies to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Secondly, righteousness applies to us, but it's still the righteousness of Christ. Okay, I want you to see that. You've got to have it applied to you. Then the life that we're to live in His righteousness. So He gave us His resurrected life, and we are to live in that resurrected life according to Romans chapter number 6. You know, we're buried with Him in baptism. Like as Christ was raised from the grave, we walk in newness of life. Once we have taken on the righteousness of Christ, it is our responsibility to live in His righteousness, or rather to let His righteousness live through us. Okay. So how's that done, Pastor? It's done by drawing close to the Lord. Okay. The closer you get to the Lord, the more He's going to be able to live His life through your life. Okay. In James 5:16, both of these meanings are applied to the one who would pray effectual prayers. That is, effectual prayers must come from the person whose God's righteousness had been imputed to, and who is living in His righteousness. Now, we still sin, don't we? But it's important that we keep short accounts. Now, you've heard me use that term, keep short accounts with God. When you sin, institute 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I think it's important that, you know, stay in that short account scenario in our lives. As soon as we know, have knowledge of sin in our life, get it taken care of so that we are living in the Lord's righteousness. We all have heard sinners tell us that they pray every night. I can't tell you how many people, since I've been in the ministry, I've talked to. They don't know the Lord. Oh, I pray every night, preacher. I pray every night. But the Bible is very clear in Psalm 66:18 that he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Really, the only prayer that God hears from someone who is lost is a prayer of repentance and faith in Him. That's the prayer that He hears and He answers. When we are speaking of effectual prayers, we're speaking of a righteous person who knows certain things. Look at Matthew 6. Of course, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6. And look at verse number 5 and 6. We see here effectual praying involves avoiding some things. Matthew 6, verse number 5. And he says, when thou prayest, this is Jesus speaking, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Well, thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, these two verses tell us a great deal about effectual praying. For example, they tell us what we should do and what we should not do. And first of all, what we should not do. We should avoid being hypocrites. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. He doesn't leave us wondering how they are, because he tells us, what did they do? Notice, they did all their praying in public places, not in private places. They were doing their praying to as a display to men. They really were talking to men's ears, that people would hear them and think that they're some really great religious person, rather than talking to God. And prayer is simply talking to God. That's what it is. So the Bible tells us that, you know, they were into this not to get the attention of God, but to get the attention of man. There in verse number 5, it reads, therefore, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. They pretended they were trying to get God's attention when they were really just trying to get man's attention. They were puffed up about themselves. And they were hypocrites. God does not answer the prayer of a hypocrite. The Lord tells us if we are going to pray effectual prayers, we can't be as the hypocrites are. Who is a hypocrite? Well, I heard a good definition from Dr. Warren Wiersbe, a pretty prominent author. That many of you probably heard that name, Warren Wiersbe, but this is what he had to say. He says, a hypocrite deliberately uses religion to cover up his sins and promote his own gains. The Greek word translated hypocrite originally meant, quote, an actor who wears a mask, unquote. It's a play actor. That's what it is. The righteousness of the Pharisees was insincere and dishonest. They practiced their religion for the applause of men, not for the reward of God. That's the end of his quote. There are those today who do as the Pharisees did. A week will go by and they will not spend any time in prayer. But on Sunday morning in church, boy, they love to be heard of me, and they pray up a storm, so to speak. No, we don't need it's going to be stormy enough today without somebody praying up a storm. Okay. Kind of remind you of the way that many employees are. They only work when the boss is looking. And, you know, some folks, they only pray when men are listening, you know. And that kind of praying is ineffectual. It gets no results because it's not really directed to God. Effectual praying is when people are talking to God. One time a particular man was called on to pray before a gathering at the White House. He was there for a meal, had been invited by the president to come to a meal at the White House, and he was asked to pray for the food. And he prayed so low that nobody could hear him. And afterward, a man tapped him on the shoulder and said, "You prayed so low, I could not hear you." And the man said, "The reason you couldn't hear me is because I wasn't talking to you." I heard another illustration of somebody who prayed, and on the way out of the church that morning, somebody accosted him and said, "Hey, I didn't like what you prayed in your prayer." He said, "I wasn't talking to you. I wasn't talking to you." And see, when we pray, we need to understand we're talking to God. We're talking to God. The Lord teaches us not to copy the hypocrites who pray to be seen and heard of men. Effectual praying is when our prayers are directed toward God. He tells us also what we should do. Look there at Matthew 6:6. He said, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." Now, the word closet does not mean that we're to wade through our closets to start praying. I had to get in my closet while Susan was gone. It's not a pretty sight in there. It don't have a lot of storage or space, so we got stuff stacked up in there. If I tried to get in one of my closets to do my praying, I'd be in bad shape. Because I'd have to empty the closet, get in there and pray, and then put it back in the closet so we wouldn't trip over something. Anybody else's closets that way? Yeah, kind of get a witness, yeah. Considering the way that a lot of folks pack, I'm sure that that's a good thing. But the word closet here means a private chamber. Now the question is God telling us that all our praying should be done in private? That's not what He's getting at. Okay? That's really not what He's talking. Jesus Himself prayed in public. In John 6:11, we know that He prayed for the loaves and the fishes that He gave to the disciples to distribute to the crowd that was there that day. The Bible does not teach that all praying should be done in private. We can take a look at the book of Acts, and as the church gathered together, they get together and pray. Get together and pray. The purpose of His teaching in Matthew 6 was to teach about motives. These hypocrites gave to be seen by men. They, in earlier verses, talked about their giving. And hypocrites not only gave to be seen by men, but they prayed to be heard by men. And when our motive is wrong, we can rest assured that our prayers will be wrong and ineffectual. So effectual praying involves avoiding some things. Don't pray with wrong motives, right? Second thing, we see that effectual praying involves adoring someone. Look here at Matthew 6 and verse number 9. And, of course, this is what we know as the Lord's Prayer. So, one of the forms of the Lord's Prayer. But it's a pattern prayer that includes some things that prayer ought to include. And we see that the very first thing it does is it worships. Okay, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, some never call on God's name unless they have an emergency. You know anybody like that? You know, only time they pray is when something bad's happened in their life. You know, that's a bad way to be. You might not be on praying terms when you need to pray. But if you're praying all the time, you know, staying on praying terms as you go, that's the best way to be in your life. The only time some folks ever pray is when they want something. People like this remind me of those who visit their friends in the country during harvest season. You know, they go to visit, and they always happen to have a basket in the trunk or a wash tub in the trunk of the car. They're there to visit, right? We don't mind helping people, but when we know that they don't care a thing for us and all they want is our help, we don't care really to help them. And God feels the same way. The fact of praying is not using God as we use a spare in the trunk of our cars. A lot of our cars don't have spare tires anymore. They got that little donut thing. And you hope that you never have to put that thing on, right? But, you know, folks use God like a spare tire. Oh, man, you know, I got a flat. I need the Lord. God knows our hearts. He knows when people do not love Him and just want to use Him. Notice when He's teaching us how to be effective in our praying, He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." Now, many think they're showing proper respect for God's name because they don't take His name in vain swearing. That's a good thing, all right? Don't take the Lord's name in vain swearing. But what they don't understand is that to reverence His name includes our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Our thoughts, our words, and our actions. How do we do that? Our thoughts and our words and our actions show whether or not we adore the Lord Jesus. Good illustration that I heard. And I saw this reiterated the other day. They were doing a special on Ronald Reagan, our former president. I think he was one of the best presidents we had in my lifetime, anyway. He's my favorite and of the ones that we've had. But Nancy Reagan was being interviewed, and the interviewer said, "We noticed that every time President Reagan made a speech and you were there, your eyes were focused on him. Is this something you've been advised to do?" And this is what she said. She said, "The reason my eyes are focused on him is because I absolutely adore him. I absolutely adore him." How's your adoration of God? You know, if your adoration of God is what it should be, your focus is going to be on Him, not on things that are around you. It's going to be on Him. On Him. When we adore the Lord, our thoughts, our words, and our actions will show it. It won't be a put-on with us. It will be real. And folks will be able to tell that we adore Him. Hallowed be Thy name. Means let Thy name be holy. His name is holy. Well, we need to keep His name holy. Amen. And we live in a time when God's name is thrown around like old dirty laundry. It just is. People have no respect, no reverence for the name of God. And sadly, there are many who call themselves Christians who unwittingly participate in that. How can God's name be made holy in the society in which we live? Well, there's a couple of examples in the Word of God from the life of Abraham. I want you to think about when Abraham went to Canaan. You know, when God said, "You know, get thee out of your country, and I'm going to give you land." Well, he goes there. And he's a new kid on the block, right? I mean, he's there. And his neighbors saw the way he lived. His neighbors saw him build altars to God everywhere he went. That's one thing that's very impressive about Abraham. Everywhere he went, first thing he did, build an altar unto the Lord. His neighbors saw he was honest and upright in all his dealings with them. And the testimony of those who had watched his life is seen in Genesis 21:22, where, you don't have to turn to them, we'll read it to you. It says, "And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest." They paid attention. It was very evident that God was with Abraham. Abraham was with God, and God was with Abraham. Amen. He reverenced God. He not only reverenced his name, but he reverenced God in his life. Also, the children of Heth observed the godly life of Abraham. They said in Genesis 23 and verse number 6, they said, "Thou art a mighty prince among us." Well, who made him a mighty prince? You know, Abraham's life revealed the reverence he had toward God in his thoughts and his words and his actions. God made him the mighty prince. God is the one that, because Abraham revered God's name was holy to him. It was hallowed. And he paid homage to God. God was working in his life. God knew, and others knew, that he loved the God that he served. In fact, he's called the friend of God. Are you a friend of God? No. The name of God was made hallowed through the life he lived. Why is it important that we reverence God in our thoughts, words, and actions? Listen, if God answered the prayer of Christians who didn't reverence his name in thoughts, words, and actions, the lost world would come to believe effectual praying can be done by them as well. You know, if you just lived any old way that you wanted to live, you talked about, you know, you just threw God's name around like it wasn't nothing, and you would talk about, you know, "I prayed God and God gave me this." If that was the way it was, the lost world would think that they could do that as well. They would think that God will answer the prayer of anybody, but He will not. Effectual praying always involves avoiding something and adoring someone. Thirdly, effectual praying involves asking something. Look at Matthew 6, verse number 8 there. And again, he's talking about not being like some others. Look at verse 7 and 8. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not that ye therefore like unto them." Notice this. "For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Well, if he knows what we have need of before we ask him, why bother praying anyway? Many times, people will talk to a pastor about a problem. For example, a man might say, "Pastor, I need to talk to you about some domestic problems my wife and I are having." And the pastor, will say, "I had no idea you were having problems." And that would be the truth. You know, pastor can't see a lot of things sometimes. Some things are going on in your life that I don't know about. Okay? God knows about it, though. Listen, no matter what kind of problem you have, you're not going to tell God anything that He doesn't already know. We don't go to God to inform Him. We go to God to acknowledge Him in our need. He already knows our need. But we go to Him acknowledging Him in our need. He tells us, "Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." Now, one of the reasons the Lord let us know that He knows before we ask is because the Jews were known for their long, repetitious prayers. And talked about the heathen. He's speaking of the heathen there in verse number 7. But they thought that they would be heard for their lengthy speaking, but the fact is, before we get one word out of our mouth, God already knows what our needs are. You ever heard someone use 1,000 words to say something when the same thing could be said in 100? We don't like getting stuck with someone like that, do we? It goes on and on and on like a broken record, repeating things. God doesn't like it either. You know? It's like, get to the point. Get to the point. The question that arises then, if God already knows, why would He want us to ask? Well, God requires that we ask for several reasons, such as, number one, there are many things we think we have need of that we really don't need. When we ask Him, we're showing we trust Him. We're looking to Him to do what is best for us. At least that's the way we should be praying. When we pray, and we'll deal with this in another lesson, we're to pray for God's will to be done. And above all, in your life, you know, we all have things that we would like to see happen, right? You know, we say, boy, I got this need. We see it as a need, but it may not really be a need. Or we got something that's on our heart, and we'd like to see it go a certain way. But you know, the best thing for your life and for my life is for things to go God's way, not our way. That's right. God also requires that we ask for another reason. It shows our dependence on God. When you pray to God, you are showing, I'm trusting in the Lord. Okay? My dependence is on Him. There are many parents who are foolish in giving their children everything they want. And when those kids have everything that's imaginable, guess what? They'll no longer need mom and dad. Don't need you. In fact, if we spend more time at the foot of Jesus when we need something, we will have everything we need. If you spend time at the foot of Jesus, you'll have everything that you need. God will keep us dependent upon Him through prayer. While we are asking these things of God, we're spending some time with Him. He's glorified in our lives through prayer. You know, when you ask God and you pray to God, you're glorifying Him. You say, I'm dependent upon Him. I look to Him. He knows what's best, and I trust Him. Okay? Anyone can pray, but everyone cannot pray effectual prayers. So let's look to have our praying effectual by avoiding some things, you know, some things that shouldn't be there, by adoring someone, adoring God, and by praying, asking for the things. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for the time we've had together in this Sunday school hour. Lord, we just pray that You'd help us in our matter of prayer. Lord, none of us really know to pray as we should. All we can do is look to Your Word. And as You taught the disciples, and as You prayed, and as You know, we're taught to pray, as we see others pray in Scripture, we learn the principles. We see the faith. We see the trust. We see the dependence. We see the honor. We see all of these things that matter in our praying. And when we put those principles into our lives, Lord, our praying becomes effectual. Lord, we want those effectual, fervent prayers to avail much in our lives. Help us with these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.